Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and joining us now is Rico Dupuis, the director and station manager of Radio Soleil, which broadcasts to Haitian Americans in our area. Hi, Rico. Welcome back to WNYC. Rico Dupuis with us on this first anniversary of the earthquake in Haiti. And Haitian Americans in our listening audience, give us a call now. Tell us your personal story, if you would like to. Here we are, a year later. You must be talking about this with your friends and family. What does your family look like? What does your original community in Haiti look like? What's going on, as far as you know, after a year of rebuilding? Are you hopeful? Are you disappointed in the government there, the government here, the international effort, the people's effort? Give us a call now with your thoughts on Haiti, Haitian Americans, 1 year to the day after the quake. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Rico, where do you want to start?
Well, it's a special day, as you can understand. It's good and bad. It's good in the sense that it's good to see the world remembering what took place a year ago. I see the international community, the international press, showing interest in the situation, in the reconstruction, the rebuilding of Haiti. That is positive because we need that. But it's opening all wounds. Not really all wounds, but it's reopening the wounds. We're seeing the pictures again. We're seeing the videos again. We're hearing the testimonies. So it's really sad. It's as if it happened, last week.
Physically, how is Haiti doing? The streets of Port-au-Prince have been, from what I gather, mostly cleared of rubble, and yet hundreds of thousands of people are still living in refugee camps. How would you describe the basic state of the physical infrastructure?
It is bad. In fact, to be precise, a little more than just 5% of the rubble has been removed. So the conditions and to a great degree have worsened. I should remind you that there is an epidemic of cholera that is creating havoc in the country, and it has reached really pandemic proportion at this time. That is on top of the earthquake, and what we've been hearing this whole morning is really testimony from people actually living in the tents and describing you the conditions in which they're living. It's unbelievable. So it has gotten worse. The promises of the international community failed to materialize to a great extent.
When you say failed to materialize, are you saying the promised money has not arrived?
It has not arrived. Some of it has arrived, but it's very, very, very low. But of course, they give reasons for this. They're saying there is something called absorptive capacity, the capacity of the country to absorb massive capital. That's the argument they're raising. Let's see, for example, there's a limit to how much the country could use. That's what they're saying. They're also saying that in Haiti there is a land tenure problem. In order to remove the rubbles, you have to know where to place them, on what terrain, and there's not enough landfills to put them, and you don't even know who owns what in Haiti right now. So they advancing this as a reason, whether it's a pretext or it's a true reason, we don't know. So the money has not been flowing. The government is very, very weak, as all of us know. They were weak before the earthquake. They lost about 20% of the personnel, so the earthquake made them much weaker. The institutions are weak. and the conditions of the people have worsened. And living in the tents in Haiti, believe me, it's no picnic. We know that. But when we hear the people describing really how they basically cannot sleep, they have no security. Women are being raped. There is a total lack of food. Haiti right now is an international capital of NGOs, non-governmental organizations, and I hate to say, a lot of them are collecting money on behalf of the victims, but we don't see what the money has done, and that's what they're saying. They're saying they mentioning really names. I mean, of organizations who are going to the press and telling them, you know, the beautiful work they've done. Over $1 billion, in my view, has been collected for the victims. But believe me, if you look at Haiti right now, you don't see that money, and that's the situation.
Emmanuel in Carteret, you're on WNYC. Emmanuel, thank you for calling.
Yes, my name is Emmanuel. I just want to ask the guests a question and in a comment. My problem when I heard the news in Haiti, because I've been to Haiti a couple of times. But apparently, the government isn't the man of the issue in Haiti. For me to get that country to move forward, they have to be able to be temporarily suspend the government, a temporary occupation. That's only way for me that country can get back on track. Otherwise, it's still going to be the same problem over and over, over and over again.
Emmanuel, thank you. Does Haiti have a president right now after that disputed election?
No, it's still in limbo. It's stalemate. The current state of the situation right now, the OAS has dispatched a mission of experts, 10 experts, to look at the results, the preliminary results that were published, and to determine whether or not the results were credible. My view is that they're about to issue a report. I think the report is being published. The report will say that the results are not credible, and they are proposing that the candidate of the governing party, Mr. Celestin, is dropped in favor of Mr. Martelly. So that is also a recipe for problems.
They work that out, is anybody in charge?
Well, theoretically, yes, there is a president. President Preval is still in charge, and his mandate will run out on February 7th. And that is really the challenge. The challenge was to transfer power to an elected, legitimate government on February 7th. And if that is not done, then you will have a provisional government, and the provisional government will lack the legitimacy to do the heavy work that the reconstruction requires.
Denise in Prospect Heights, you're on WNYC. Hello, Denise.
Hi, Brian. How are you? Thanks so much for your great programming.
Thank you.
I listen all the time.
Thank you so much.
There are so many things to say, and hi, Rico.
Hi.
For your great service to the community. But there are so many things that can be said, Brian, but right now I will only take the point of the NGOs in Haiti, and Rico can probably elaborate more. They have caused, seriously, they haven't done much. And according to Columbia University, the Dean of Emergency Preparedness, we have 17,000 NGOs in Haiti. So to me, they have paralyzed. I was there for 6 months, and they think they know Haiti more than any Haitians. And you're there. I was there for 6 months to help. I live in New York, and they don't want to hear. They don't want you to do. It's their country. It's the Republic of NGOs, including Bill Clinton, who has amassed a lot of money on behalf of the Haitian people.
So would you rather see all the relief organizations leave, or do you want them to do something in particular that they're not doing?
I think we have all those young 22-year-olds or 24-year-olds getting out of graduate school, don't know what to do with their lives in most of these Western countries, and they have flogged the country. But they are so young and immature, and then they just either just graduated from whatever schools. They don't have the experience. I mean, when you have a country where we had 280,000 houses that have collapsed. And I mean, I studied urban planning, and the formula that is used to say that one point child and the dog and the fence and the house It doesn't. It's not reality. In Haiti, in one house, I lost my my family. I lost my cousin, her husband, the servants, and all these people in just one little house. So we most of us live with our extended families.
Yes, yes.
So if really we have more than 300,000 people who have passed that on that day. So therefore, how do you have somebody just out of whatever school they come from, 22-year-old?
I understand coming in and making a difference. Denise,
exactly.
Thank you. I'm going to leave it there. Get some other people on. We're going to go right to Michelle Francois in Harlem. Michelle Francois, hello.
Hi. Yes. I want to say that the main problem in Haiti right now is that they don't have, maybe they do, but they don't have dual citizenship. I mean, that's the main thing that's going to actually help Haiti out of the situation right now. The people of Haiti, the expatriates, you know, native born that's not in the country. I mean, these are the people that, as long as they have a place to be in Haiti, they can participate in the economy, they can participate in the government, but that's just because they don't belong, just because they live in another country, they shouldn't be shut out from participating in helping their home country.
You're talking about Haitian Americans?
Yes, Haitian Americans, Haitian
dual citizenship. By the way, thank you, Michelle Francois. And before we run out of time, Rico Dupuis from Radio Soleil, I just want to make sure to mention for any Haitians listening who may not know that the deadline for temporary protected status, which was originally 6 months after the quake, was extended to a year, as you well know, and I guess that deadline is next Monday now. I know there's going to be one last clinic at the office of City Councilman Matthew Eugene this Friday, and maybe there are some others in addition around the area where people who are not in legal status but are from Haiti and were here before the quake can get temporary protected status. Right, Rico?
Yes, it's on the 18th. It's expiring, and there are clinics, as you say, throughout Brooklyn. Councilman Jermaine Williams is having one. Kamba is having one. So I'm glad you raised the point. So the deadline is fast expiring. It's on the 18th. So whoever is listening to us right now, please consider make a last attempt to participate, to reap the benefit of this.
There was a certain kind of hope expressed in the days after the quake by Bill Clinton and others that, you know, despite the horrific results of that earthquake, that Haiti had been a country that was struggling so much anyway to break out of its chronic poverty and chronic government corruption and chronic violence, and that maybe this was the thing that would finally turn it around, that would finally get people in the country to get serious, people out of the country to get serious. I think what I'm hearing from you and the callers is opportunity squandered. Is that too harsh?
I hope not. It doesn't seem to be too harsh now, but I'm still hoping that's not the case, because we continue to hear from these actors, the stakeholders, that Haiti's best days are yet to come. But from what we've seen so far, there is no serious cause for hope. A lot of money has been squandered. A lot of money has been collected. Really, the international community rose up to the occasion. The American people have been really, really extremely generous with us. People throughout the world, but it's really the NGOs, the big organizations that have been collecting on behalf of the people. So far, there is no overseeing, no monitoring of what they've collected and how they've used what they've collected. If you ask me what it needs to be done, it's for really journalists and to ask questions. What has been done with the money? Because when you look at Haiti right now, it's clear, it's visible that not much has been done. Who has the money and what they plan to do with the money?
So what would be the first thing, the biggest thing, when the needs are so massive, that you would see the money spent on if you could direct it? Is it physical infrastructure? We have 30 seconds. Is it physical infrastructure or is it something else?
Haiti is still in the urgency phase. There are urgent conditions that require immediate attention. You have a cholera epidemic. All the attention should be focused right now on treatment, effective treatment for cholera.
Rico Dupuis from Radio Soleil. How can people hear Radio Soleil?
Many ways. They have their special receiver. They go to the internet, and now there's a telephone number. You just call a number, 712-432-1974, and then you can listen to the station on your phone, any phone.
We always appreciate it when you come on this radio station with us. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.